Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday! We made it through another weekend. Oh, God. That was kind of ominous. Hope you guys had a good weekend and a great weekend. Had some great shows. Did the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness show here in Los Angeles. 6,000 people, I think, at the Shrine in downtown L.A. Angela Johnson, David Koechner, Taylor Williamson, Jimmy Pardo, Jonah Ray, myself, and the amazing Bill Burr closing the show out. Unbelievable. Show was so fun. Thanks for everybody that came out. All the ALN Pod fans that I met afterwards. All that money goes to charity, so that was a dope event. Kevin and Bean is the best. Shout out to them. Best morning show in the country. And I'll be back on them soon, promoting something, maybe the Joey Mack Show. The premiere is April 12th. That's right, April 12th on Pop TV, the Joey Mack Show. Return of the Mack, me, January Jones, David Koechner, Joey Lawrence, Joey McIntyre, Joey Fatone, Brad Williams. Return of the Mack, Pop TV, April 12th. So set your DVRs. Today's episode, what a great way to start the week. This is one of my favorite episodes we've done in a long time. An amazing guest, a hilarious stand-up comic. You know him from Saturday Night Live, BET, Comic View, Comedy Central. He's just one of the best in the game, one of the smartest dudes, nicest dudes, and easiest to talk to. He'll be on again sooner than later for sure, because it was just a fun, it was, you know, an hour and change that just blew by. His name is Finesse Mitchell. That's right, baby. Finesse Mitchell making his ALN debut. So many laughs, SNL stories. It's always great to get a cast member on that wants to really talk about their experience and time. And some of the best SNL stories we've ever heard were in this episode from Finesse. So that was incredible. His advice on relationships. He's a guy that's just, you know, like, speaks very articulately and very intelligently about men and women and relationships and marriage, and gives Brad some great advice. I don't want to spoil too much more, but top to bottom, this is one of my favorite episodes we've done in a long time. Finesse is the man. You've seen him on Showtime's Roadies, Nick Swartzen's Pretend Time. He played Daryl on Disney's Ant Farm and shares some hilarious stories about working on a Nickelodeon kids show. It's a great episode. Anytime you can see Finesse live, he headlines all over the country. Go see him. His website is Finesse. FinesseMitchell.tv. So go see him live. He's amazing. Follow him on Twitter at Finesse Mitchell. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all your ALN merch, hats, shirts. Get those, bring them to our shows. We'll sign them, take pictures, and, you know, support the pod that way, you know? After you've gone on iTunes and subscribed and rated the podcast 5 stars and commented on the iTunes page, then buy some merch at AboutLastNightPodcast.com and bring that shit to the shows. We'll sign that shit, baby. This weekend, Brad Williams on the road, as always. That motherfucker is in Pasadena, California this weekend. That's right, Brad Williams, April 7th and 8th at the Ice House. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. And the next weekend, Brad will be at Wise Guys Comedy Club on Sunday, this Sunday, and then at Helium in St. Louis, Missouri, April 13th, 14th, and 15th. And then Brad and I, of course, will be in Austin, Texas, April 19th through the 22nd at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas, April 19th through the 22nd. Get your tickets at moontowercomedyfestival.com. This weekend, I'm very pumped. I'm going back to San Francisco, baby. To the Punchline, one of my favorite clubs in the world. Doing a show on Wednesday, April 5th. And then I'm not doing a show on Thursday. I got to fly back to L.A. And then I'll be doing shows, 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday at the Punchline in San Francisco. Get your tickets at punchlinesanfran.com or adamraytv.com. And then my next tour dates aren't for a little bit. Austin, Texas is the next place I go. Again, April 19th through the 22nd, Moon Tower Comedy Fest. Brad Williams and I doing a live ALN podcast. Get your tickets and come see us live, baby. Recorded the Adam Devine tour recap episode Tonight, and that episode's going to come out Thursday, so get ready for that. We got John Renitsky coming up, Will Sasso, so many great apps. We're really in a good run right now, so make sure you subscribe and tell your friends and family and enjoy these pods that are coming your way, baby. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, that's the merch info of the Joey Mac show dates, the Twitter handles. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Finesse Mitchell.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day, so come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
What era of Heather Locklear?
Fall Guy era.
Okay.
Remember that TV show?
Okay. Okay, so that was... Wait, was that pre or post Melrose?
Gotta be pre.
Well, yeah, it was. I think that was pre Melrose, post Tommy Lee.
Definitely post Tommy Lee.
Which, I don't know if you want to get a girl after she's post Tommy Lee. No. I don't know if you want that.
I saw that tape.
You know what?
I don't want to come out to Tommy Lee.
I mean,
I'm black dude. I'm
yeah,
like,
so we know the stereotypes, but motherfucker drove a boat with his dick. Like that's
did he really?
He drove a like he
that shit
steers.
Was a baby arm, dude, that shit was like a
he steers the
trunk.
Wheel. He steers the
did any,
wheel to the boat.
So I know Madonna was like,
I think we're going right now. So yeah. You could.
Are we all good? Yeah, oh, okay. I have to put it on.
No, you don't have to. Okay. Yeah,
you don't have to.
Is there like a famous list that's been? Has anyone ever complained? Was there ever someone like? Who went on Yelp and was like, the dick was too big. He drove the boat and forgot about me. Or, you know.
I've never been in that scenario, and I've never Yelped people's dicks.
But I did see that Tommy Lee dick.
Yeah.
I saw that shit.
Yeah.
I was impressed. And I saw him at SNL.
Yeah.
With another celebrity.
Uh-huh.
And I was about to get mad at her because they weren't even supposed to be together.
Uh-huh.
But then I looked back at him and I said, it's the dick. She saw the dick. And I couldn't get mad at her because
right?
She
God.
Wanted to probably see it too.
She knows what she wants. I mean, it's the same way how some guys can watch some porn star get nailed by like 11 different dudes in a gangbang and go, hey, I want to be that 12th dude.
You know what?
Like,
never been me.
Yeah.
I don't even want to be the dude in the room about to bang the girl with the porn on and the dude in the porn dick bigger than mine. I don't want to be that dude. And I got the girl right in front of me. I'm like, oh, I can't follow him watching you follow her. You know what I'm trying to say, bitch.
That is, I can totally understand that because you don't want to be like, You don't want the girl to be like, oh, wait, that's out there?
Hey.
That's a possibility?
That has happened before.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, but not today.
not today, not for you.
You deal with today. This 7.5 right here.
Would Starkeisha be able to handle a huge dick like that?
You know what? Seeing how Starkeisha is me, I'm not going to fall for that trick question. And I'm going to still say no.
Well, if we're doing some James Lipton Inside the Actor's Studio shit.
You know what? Probably. Starkeisha would probably be a chick that would pride herself on big dicks and many of them. Attached to rich people.
That,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
That,
I don't see Starkeisha fucking broke people.
By the way, that is something that has come out, like at least that has sort of been famous in like the last like maybe 5 years, is that now that women are totally cool with flat out like yelling across a room like, oh, I can take that dick. I've had bigger. Like they're cool with that.
Really?
Yeah. Like I've heard things said.
Go on and
like
say
that.
It. Leslie Jones. Let's say it, man. Come on. Don't beat around the bush.
God bless Leslie.
God bless
so
her,
funny.
Dog. But if we in the
so
same
funny.
Room, I'm about to get visually raped, and I have to realize that times have changed.
Yeah.
Times have changed.
And, and you know what? I think that's cool.
Cool as fuck, man.
I think it's good that women can be open, that much open, just be like, yes, that's something I like.
Finesse,
cool.
You can't handle this. I'll post that dick up. You don't want to get posted up. You ever been posted up? Nigga, I'll dunk on you. I'm just like, don't dunk. I'm the girl. Don't dunk on me, Leslie.
Don't dunk
on me. Kiss my neck first.
great. Well, and now this is something I found out about you.
Me?
Yes. Found out about you. Okay. Doing research for this is I didn't know you were such the relationship guru.
Come on, man.
You're the dude.
Talk to me, bro.
You're the girl whisperer.
I wrote a book.
Your girlfriends only know so much.
Amazon.com.
Hell yeah.
Now, what's that title? Your girlfriends only know so much.
Your girlfriends only know so much. A brother's take on mating and dating for sisters. It's basically back in the day when we were going to Montreal a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I ran into Greg Barrett.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had the successful. She's just not dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just
so
not
that one.
Just not that into you. Made him a multimillionaire.
Yes.
He did all right.
I was on SNL, man, and Essence magazine, biggest black magazine.
Sure.
The ladies came up to me and said, "Hey, we want you to join an ensemble piece of some eligible single bachelors and give these women some relationship advice."
Mm-hmm.
And if you can, make it comedic. We give you three questions, just answer it, and then, you know, if we like them, we'll put it in the article. I said, "Cool."
Mm-hmm.
I answered all three. They only went with my answers, and they went with all three of them.
Oh, shit. Wow.
And so, you know, Tyrese and Ginuwine and all them other people got the axe. But
well,
I was impressed,
all right,
you know?
Like, when you're getting dating advice from Tyrese, what's fucking Tyrese? Here's my advice for women. Be a 12.
Basically.
That's it.
Hey,
like,
ladies,
that,
be beautiful. Yeah. Know yourself. Know your self-worth. And unless it's me, just don't fuck for free. But if it's me, then let's reevaluate the situation, because I'm Tyrese.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's
and
how,
this is way before Fast and the Furious.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Like shit.
That. Yeah. That's his advice.
What were some of the questions that you had to answer?
I don't know. It was something about interracial dating. It was something mm-hmm. about... sex and yeah. how soon, and then just the usual. Just they was throwing up gimmies.
Yeah,
and your answers.
And the main one: if a guy doesn't call back in a certain amount of time, what does that mean?
Yeah. Now, when you're answering those questions, you try to give, obviously, because you know they're having a comedian on. You know, there's like some responsibility to give comedic responses, but are you also like, yo, just as much as the funny, I need to be like real about this and give my own experience to the answer.
I write how I talk.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my secret. Mm-hmm. I kind of write stand-up, but I do the same jokes over and over. So if you give me a new topic,
yeah.
I can write funny on that topic.
There you go.
Which I should give myself more topics so I can have more jokes. But when they gave me topics, right, hey, you're automatically
yeah.
write funny.
Yeah.
So more importantly, write truthful and answer the question. So if you can do all three of those, mm-hmm. write truthful, answer the question, and be funny, ding, 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 ding. So that landed me my own column in Essence.
Shit.
And I had that going for 3 years. And then that got me the book deal. And I met that lady who gave Greg his book deal.
Oh, shit.
Just
Ooh.
On a random TV show on Cinemax. Hang on, never forget this, dog. They're introducing everybody. It's
yeah.
a pop culture show. It's four of us. We all facing each other. Cameras going around in a circle behind us. Shaken, Not Stirred, something like that is the name of the show, and it's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said Finesse Mitchell from SNL, and then Jen Bernstrom, publisher of Simon
yeah,
Spotlight,
sure. yeah,
and did the successful book. He's Just Not That Into You, and I was like, bitch, I mean, Jen, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
I just thought you was a normal white lady.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm writing a book. I got the whole black voice behind me right now. I got all the black women. She was like, okay. But then after the show, after the whole show, and you got to like people, you saw people's personalities, and I was
sure.
murdering it. She was like, you make sure you call me. Here's my card.
Oh, yeah.
So I won her over.
Done.
Next thing I know, man, it was.
What's
crazy,
the prep
bro?
For writing a book, or even just the mindset? I mean, that's way different than stand up, right? I mean,
yeah. You know what? Time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't have that shit. And that's the
yeah.
bottom line. Like, a lot of people have ghostwriters because you don't have the time to sit there and proofread yourself for
right.
10 chapters.
Fuck.
20
yeah.
pages, to, you know, 25 pages a chapter. You just don't.
Right.
Me, SNL had just kind of let your brother go. So I had a little bit of time.
That was in 2006.
2007.
Mistake. Yeah, 2007.
Yeah.
Mistake. I mean, hell, your exit class was amazing talent. Like some,
I never
like
heard that.
Like some people talk about their class, like going
right.
in having talent. Your exit class
who was
right. it? Was you, Horatio,
Dratch.
Yeah,
Dratch.
Rachel Dratch.
Chris Parnell.
Chris Parnell, who's like every voice.
He's a genius, dog.
Yeah.
He is, right?
Yeah.
He's a genius. And
yeah, like that. Like that's.
You were all heavy hitters,
four,
man.
Tina Fey left that year.
Yeah, but like four. Those four right there, that's a yeah. cast.
Some
yeah,
no of us shit. Left to go on to bigger and better things, and while mm-hmm. others were. Was just axed up. Was just said, Finesse, the cast is very crowded, and you know, you do well here, but I just think I see bigger things for you, and this platform may mm-hmm. be holding you back. And I was like,
that's that, very nice way of saying it.
Very nice way yeah. of saying that, Lauren. I yeah, appreciate
that's
you, man.
Nicest way someone said you're fired ever.
And that wasn't even Lauren, that was Keenan. Yeah. Oh, so it was just a fucked up day, dog.
Did you have much interaction with him ever on the show, Lauren?
Did I what?
Have much interaction with him.
Absolutely.
Throughout.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I talk to him now probably more and more honestly
no
than
shit.
I did back then. Back oh, then, no I was afraid of him. And yeah. now, ever since we kind of hired Leslie and Sashir.
Mm-hmm.
I got involved with helping them find the girls. I brought five girls from L.A. They
awesome.
Had five girls in New York. And they found that they picked their ones. But after that, it
yeah.
was like, well, we should talk more. And I was like, I think we should. It's been long enough.
I think we should, most powerful man in show business.
but more so than that, I consider him a friend. And I can't ever, ever, ever forget him picking me out of all those guys.
Yeah.
So when it was time for me to make my exit, I was bitter for like 6 years maybe, but it wasn't a personal thing. It was just mm-hmm. like, what's next? And what was funny, dog, is that I had like three movies back to back right after I left.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, it is true. There is life after this, you know what
right.
I mean? Because Jimmy was telling me that, like, you know, you'll find your footing. And I was like, I hope it ain't Taxi. Because,
I don't. I mean, me and Queen Latifah.
I hope it ain't Fever Pitch, because you 0-2, dog.
No shit, man. He lucked out.
But from Jimmy to Seth, even to Lauren, I thank these guys for their friendship and he was right. You know, he was just like, you just stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
When that opportunity come. And look at Fallon, man. Look at Seth. I mean, they got nice.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
So it's just them finding their niches and mm-hmm. finding what works best for them. I mean, conveniently for them, their thing is to be a late night talk show host, and you know that's obviously
and that's their lane.
Yeah.
You know?
And you watch both their shows, and they're good at it.
Yeah.
So
comfortable too. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
How did you like doing sketch versus, because you started stand-up in Atlanta
I didn't like sketch.
No, yeah.
I was doing stand-up out here. And I was living down off of Crenshaw, and I was trying to get on stage out here at the Laugh Factory and the mm-hmm. Comedy Store, and I was doing all the black nights.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, Tracy Morgan is leaving SNL. Dave Raff, give a shout out to Dave Raff from Three Arts at the time, you know, was trying to get with me, and I was like, all right, he's a big name. And then he left Three Arts and started his own company, so I followed him. But at that time, Tracy Morgan was leaving SNL. And I was like, hey, man, I heard Tracy's leaving SNL. He was like, you don't do sketch. I said, I do it if it's a chance.
Yeah, no shit.
I live off Crenshaw.
Yeah, if it's on Saturday Night Live, so, I'll do whatever. That and now, when Tracy leaves sketch, is that buzz sort of going all around the black comedian community?
The
like,
black
hey, there's
comedy community
yes.
is on fire.
Because it's like, there's a spot.
This is the story that
Alfonso Ribeiro was like, I'm fucking, dude. There might be a spot.
I tell this story, Adam. I said, everybody got together. I called, because it was like 2002, maybe. I called Kevin Hart, and Kevin Hart called D-Ray, and D-Ray called Tony Rock, and Tony Rock called his big brother Chris Rock, and then Chris Rock called Tracy, and then Tracy called us all back on three-way, and he was like, yeah, it's true, I'm leaving. Had us all on three-way.
Oh my God.
But then he was typical Tracy. You can never be Papa Bear, you can only be Baby Bear.
Oh shit.
And I was like, excuse me?
Yeah.
You can't be Papa Bear, you can only be Baby Bear.
Does Baby Bear still get paid? Cause that's cool.
I was like, I don't what does that mean? You heard me, Febreze. And I was like, Finesse. And the next thing
I'll spray you on my laundry.
And then he was like, everybody said, damn, Finesse, why you make him mad? Cause he hung up. It was my fault. But then we all auditioned, man, and it was it was probably a good 20 people in my group, which was Group C.
No shit.
Yeah.
That now, many.
Now,
in my group.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Wow. Now, are you looking around and is it all black comics, or is it a little bit of everybody?
Mitchell, Kenan Thompson, D-Ray, J.B. Smoove.
Damn.
Kadeem Hardison, Urkel, anybody who was a little bit of funny or had a
name.
They
were there.
I mean, everybody was trying to grab that job.
Right. Man.
And I was a nobody, but I had a dope-ass set.
You did stand-up?
I was doing stand-up, but my bit was the movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Yeah.
How black people found out you had to read for 2.5 hours. Down at the Magic Johnson Theater, because none of the commercials said it had subtitles,
right?
And you know how black people love karate and Wu-Tang, so we went waiting for the words to come off the screen. So I acted out everybody
right
in the theater, and how Starkeisha was born. I'm sitting behind Starkeisha.
I was gonna ask,
as she's having a birthday party with her girlfriends in front of me. And everybody's scared to tell them to shut up because there's so many.
Sure.
And then they start, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I said they was cheering before the movie came on, but not cheering like, we want the movie, because the movie was late. No, they was cheering, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So it was just one of these big things that I did. And it was a 7-minute long joke.
Wow.
But I played myself. I played the ghetto girls. I played the white dude scared to tell them to shut up.
Sure.
I played the usher telling them to. So it was just doing all that. And by the time I finished, the bit was so strong, it would always get a stand and no. So it was right timing, right bit, right information to go to the audition and do that bit.
Yeah.
It just showed so much range that it was like.
Because you're doing multiple characters.
I was doing characters.
And like, even though you're a stand-up guy, you picked a bit. That you can like, hey, I can do this person. I can do this person, because I'm gonna have to wear all these hats on the show anyway.
I want to know, it's going into that, like you saying, like you, I mean, all those guys. You said you were a nobody. Like, did you feel less pressure because of that?
I didn't know the gravity of the moment.
Sure,
I was more impressed with the people in the room than what I was auditioning for. Mm. And in my eyes, it was one more thing I would not get. So I didn't have.
I hear that
pressure.
From so many people that go in for it, and I feel like that's a healthy man.
This shit. Like when Kristen Wiig went in, she did. I saw her audition. She just said, "Audrey Hepburn." Tina Fey. Carol Burnett. And then she was. And I mean, no,
Jesus.
No pizzazz. Yeah. No nothing. Wow. And that was like her third time auditioning. So she was just like, I'm not getting this shit.
Well, yeah. You know? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and I've heard, like, I'm a total SNL geek, and I love hearing people's stories. And most of the time I hear, like, if Lauren is busting a gut laughing during your audition, you're not getting it.
Right.
But if he's quiet. And then he's like looking at you like, okay, I know how to use this guy. Like, then it's like, it's a better chance if he's not laughing and the other people.
Snickering. I did hear snickering.
Okay.
And I'm a laugher.
Now, was it just them? Was it just like the three?
Like, it was like two auditions in a comedy club.
Yeah.
And then they picked a group to go into the studio, Studio 8H.
Yeah.
Dark.
God.
In the background table.
Right.
You see shadows. You see the camera in front of you, the red light.
Yeah.
The whole feed is going throughout the whole building of NBC.
Yeah.
So anybody on any floor can turn to that channel and watch the SNL auditions.
Whoa.
Right,
and
I'm so glad they told me
that after the fact.
Oh, yeah. My God, yeah. Because you don't want to know that Tom Brokaw's up there like,
who is Starkeisha?
Chris Matthews. I saw this guy doing a girl named Starkeisha, but I don't know if that's an accurate portrayal of black women, and I just wondered. And so, you know, it's just...
Perfect.
That's my first time doing Christmas.
That's,
you
know, pretty
what?
Good, man.
I believed you.
Saw it. Yeah,
I believed you. Put in the arsenal.
Hey, man.
Done. But
did you watch SNL coming up then? So you weren't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy days.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a baby.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, shit. Don't get in the hot tub. Hot tub too hot.
Yeah. James Brown
and all that stuff. Then a couple of the Adam Sandler years, and then Will Ferrell. Then I was kind of out.
Yeah.
You know, once you're old enough to go out the house on Saturday night, you're not.
Yeah. Right. And especially in the days before DVR.
And that's the thing about SNL, man. Everybody always come up to me and say, it's not as funny as when you were there. And I was like, you know how many people told me the show sucked when I was there? But then those people are now like, it was so funny when you were right. there. Versus like, oh, the Will days were the best days.
Yeah.
And then you meet other people. Oh, I miss Mike Myers and Dana Carvey. Like, so it's right. like everybody.
Lorne always says, whatever cast was on when you were in high school.
Pretty much.
That's your favorite that's cast your of favorite all time. That's your favorite cast of all time.
Funniest people of all time.
Right, right, right.
All that stuff.
Not to not to sit on it for too much longer, but I mean, do you have any, I'm just so, you know, we are huge. We've had a ton of people on from the show, and so we're always curious, like, favorite, like, moment, like first, like time hearing your name called, like nerves. When did the nerves go away? Like
my favorite moment was rolling out for the first time at the update desk and mm-hmm. doing that Stark Crouching Tiger Hidden Dragon bit.
Yeah, right.
For the first time as yeah. a bit at the news, I was doing a movie review.
Okay,
so I just had to. All I had to do was do my stand up and murdered it. Like, yeah. It was one of those things where you. And that was the only part I had it on the show, and when I came off, it was like Prince after Purple Rain, you know, and he thought he bombed, and he walked back out in the hallway, and everybody's like, "Hey, man, that was pretty good." I mean, it was just everybody just it was it felt a magic moment.
That's awesome.
And then
did you have like Elder Statesman cast like congratulating you?
Yeah,
too?
Yeah, we had the Fallons and the Maya Rudolphs and the Daryl Hammonds. Everybody,
because that matters, right? When you're new to get yeah. their fucking
until they're like, okay, pull it back. He's getting too much airtime. But that night, and it was my first night, and it was Jack Black, and then to intertwine that with my second week, Halle Berry was the host, and then that's when it kind of hit me. I'm on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
And actually, I'm becoming friends with Halle Berry.
What?
And she's saying, "What's up, Finesse?" And, and we're hanging out. And we're just like, we're cool because, you know, you spend a whole week with us.
Sure.
And then I wrote the Starkeisha sketch.
I was going to say, yeah. You and Amy Poehler.
We wrote the Starkeisha sketch. And Maya Rudolph. And we rehearsed it all week. And I was like, wow. And then when I saw the set that they built for it, I was like, if I create it, you guys are gonna build it.
That's right.
And then makeup and wardrobe is gonna find
and
the
and those
this
sets.
Is crazy.
I'm always amazed, and I think people that work in the industry have a little more appreciation for, like, I see the intricate sets going, they had 3 days to build that.
Yeah. No,
if that maybe.
Two. Yeah.
Two days to build that set that's gonna be used for a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Like that's it's
now,
fucking
now here's
incredible.
My mind. I'm thinking, I'm doing great. Yep. I'm about to be Mr. Berry any day now. All I got to do is keep playing it cool and wait for her to say, "So, Finesse, what are you doing after this?" You know, I'm just going to play it cool. I'm about to be.
You
want to
go to Panera Bread with me?
Yes, yeah. Anything, dog. And the day of dress rehearsal, it didn't dawn on me that Starkeisha, of course, is a girl. So I'm in drag. And then when we go out to rehearse for the first time and we're all in costume, the look on Hallie's face when she saw me in that wig and makeup.
Did she see you as a threat?
Every bit of interest left her body. You saw it in one
it
look.
It was the opposite of seeing a Tommy Lee dick.
Yes, it was the opposite. couple of inches left my dick. It was just like
you saw it like an out of body experience. You saw her soul walk out of the room.
Walk out, man. It was like one of those. I don't know if y'all fans of Riddick and Ben Diesel.
Yeah, yeah. Wow,
but right when
good
they was
pull.
About to.
Yeah.
And the dude goes on. And you just saw his soul go the other way look and realize he had to come back. And by the time he came back, that was me. I don't know, man. I don't know why I came up with a Riddick reference. But.
Dude, that's okay.
Anyway, I did see her soul.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, it's me, Adam Ray, the About Last Night podcast. Yeah, and look, when I'm not podcasting or doing stand-up or writing or doing voiceover, I love to drink, okay? Drinking's fun. It eases the stress and the pain of some of the gratuitous moments of life. Wine is one of my favorite beverages, white or red. And look, when I go to the store, I don't know what I'm talking about. When I go to Napa and the guys get in my face and they're like, "If you really listen to your palate, you can hear the grapes separate from the nectar and the fruit as it oozes into your splash zone." What the fuck are you talking about? I don't know. I want to know, though, because I love wine. Well, finally, I found a place that delivers it to me and customizes shit to my palate to make it easier. I'm talking about Wink. Wink, W-I-N-C, baby.
Wink is the greatest wine delivery service I've ever used. All right, Brad uses them too. They understand that when you have a great glass of wine, it makes your life better. It enhances the moment. It helps when you're reflecting on the day with someone you love. All right, they give you access to exceptional wines from all over the world so you can have more of these amazing moments. So if you want wine delivered to your place, buy a place that gets to know your wine taste based on your preferences. That's right, Wink will even introduce you to new rare and custom wines that are not available anywhere else. And I'll tell you the story behind each one, all right? None of your time is wasted fitting in a run to the store or on your way home from work. No more time spent guessing what wine you like. Just go to wink.com. That's right, WINC.com. Take a brief palate profile quiz, and Wink will then recommend distinct and interesting wines that you might never even heard of, and customize this shit to your palate, and then they'll ship them directly to your door every month, all right? Look, you can cancel any time. You can join for free, and you can skip any month. They have a 100% satisfaction guarantee, so you never pay for a bottle of wine that you don't like, all right? And right now, Wink is offering listeners $20 off your first order when you go to trywink.com/ALN, all right? TryWink, that's TRYWINC.com/ALN to get $20 off your first order now, plus complimentary shipping, baby. That's right, complimentary shipping and a bunch of great wine coming to your door to get into your mouth to make your life better. So go to TryWink.com/ALN, that's TRYWINC.com/ALN, and get $20 off and start enjoying wine because it's the best and you don't know what you're talking about, and Wink does. All right? Fuck yeah. Wait, so when you did Sarkeesha before that, did you have like extensive wig and makeup stuff anywhere else you did it?
No. I've never did it. It was just me being a person. It was just I've never dressed up like that to even do it.
Makeup department, did they just come to you and be like, yo, here's what we're thinking? Or do they sit down with you and go, yo, what kind of hair?
Like, well, I knew all that. I was like, yeah, she probably going to have braids, and then she probably going to, you know, I don't want to wear a skirt, so let's put in a warm-up suit. I blueprinted it.
Yeah.
And then when it was time to put the shit on and the makeup and all that stuff, and you look at yourself, and you're like, this is me as a woman.
Yeah.
All right. And you go out in front of the prettiest woman probably in show business at the time, and you're like, and this is me as a woman in front of the prettiest woman in show business. And I am not going to be Mr. Barry. I am in the friend zone for the rest of my life.
How'd you like living in New York?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it so much, it got me kicked off the show. I went out every night.
Yeah. Good for you.
That was my thing, dog. I went out every night. I partied every night.
Well,
me and Kenan Thompson partied every night.
And you're
how do you not,
dude,
man? That's a city where it's like you're on the show, the biggest show in the country. You're in the best city in the country with the most shit to do in the country. How do you not, I mean,
you pull up, they treat you like royalty. There's always a section, there's always a bottle, there's always a celebrity. And not only that, sometimes you're bringing celebrities because that week is maybe a Lindsay Lohan. Or Ashton Kutcher or
and
Justin
they
Timberlake
want, and they want to go out
and they want to go out. Yeah. All you do, you say, hey, you want to go out? Fuck yeah, let's go out.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I feel like a lot of people would be timid to ask the host.
No,
to do that.
Dog,
not you.
Not me. I was too naive to know anything. Mm-hmm. I was going up to everybody. I was a picture whore.
Oh,
I
really?
Had so many photos of everybody from musical guests to hosts on my wall that when you came in my apartment and you didn't know who I was,
you got the idea. Very quickly. But you know what? See, some people would talk shit about that. I'm like, yes, you're on Saturday Night Live. They say like, oh, act like you've been there before. But it's like, I haven't been there before.
Yeah, man. No. There's nothing like it.
No. I'll be like, Kevin Spacey! Casa Soze! Oh, my God! What, you gay?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't know that. Damn. I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. I was going to take you to the strip club. Damn.
No, damn. You know,
yeah,
but amazing stories, and amazing
just,
guests.
Was there anybody you asked that, I mean, you just had an epic night with, or musical guests, or they kind of do their thing and bounce, yeah?
Yeah, a lot of the musical guests do their thing and bounce, but, I mean, it's just like, it's one thing to, like, spend all week with Justin Timberlake, but then to go out later and you're at the club.
Yeah.
He got me some pussy one night, man. I ain't going to even lie. I came in with
Timberlake, wingman.
I came in with a Dominican bombshell, and we walking through the club, and I didn't know he was there. All of a sudden, I just heard, you know, Justin Timberlake is in the DJ booth. I'm like, really? And I ain't seen him since like maybe 4 months from his SNL.
Yeah.
And we walking through, and it's crowded. Turn the corner and I look and I say, holy shit, that's Justin Timberlake up there.
Yeah.
And so, for some reason, the light hits him and the light hits where I am. And before it hits, I'm like, yeah, me and Justin go way back.
Of course, you plant the seed.
And that light, man, he looked and he was just like, for whatever reason, he was like, oh shit, Finesse Mitchell in the house. And she was like, oh my God.
You know, Justin. Panties drop right in the middle of the dance floor.
So we walk up to the DJ booth. He lets us up. Now we in the DJ booth.
Yeah.
And then you know how the story goes. The baby Tommy Lee Jr. comes out later that night. Amazing stories, though.
Yeah.
Did you go? I was talking
first time I ever started smoking weed
in New York.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
On a regular basis.
Can you say with who?
Everybody knows with who.
Keenan.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That was the first time I. Yeah.
My girl I used to date was like the she was a page at NBC and one of her jobs was the audience coordinator at SNL.
What was her name?
Liz Wagner.
Oh my God. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Dude, you know what's so funny?
Enough time has
passed where I got excited if you were going to tell me you bucked it.
God.
Because she ended up fucking a cameraman in Reno instead. So I would have loved to hear Finesse got there first.
Oh, I wish you guys could have seen Adam Ray's face at that exact moment.
That was Liz? You're a good actor. That was great.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
That was beautiful.
But she would tell me. She's like, Keenan, because, I smoke and shit. When I was out there for a little bit, she was like, yeah, she's like, it just always reeks out of his dressing room and he's very able to like do it and still be coherent and like funny, and I'm like, fuck, he's my hero.
Keenan is a guy, I don't know, I haven't hung out with Woody Harrelson,
mm-hmm.
but it's I don't know what you call it when it's that much a part of you.
I would imagine
that he still does it, but
yeah.
You know what I mean? I would think he's
what would you guys do
immune to it
in New York? Would you smoke and go out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so we would go to writing night and we would stare at our computer. And yep. He's not going to write anything. And I'm going to write ideas.
Yeah. Right.
And at 1 o'clock would roll around and he'd be like, hey, let's go to Marquee. And I'm like, yeah, let's go to Marquee.
Yeah.
Then we would go and smoke and then go to Marquee and then we'd party till like 3:30. Then we come back to SNL, get back in front of the computers.
Because everyone's still there.
Everyone's still there.
Yep.
And then you still don't have shit to write about.
Did you ever find, though, like getting out for a minute, you find some inspiration from just,
sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best shit I've ever written had come at 5:30 in the morning.
Sure.
It took me like 30 minutes to write.
It's when you're desperate and crazy and like loopy and you're able to think outside the box. Everybody had offices.
Everybody had couches. You spend the night in there. And it was the culture. It was literally like, we got to come up with something.
And then what time is the read-through the next morning?
The read-through was at 12.
At 12.
So you would probably leave around 8 something.
Yeah.
Go home. Maybe shower.
Right.
A lot of people didn't go home. Seth Meyers stank there. Every damn
shit.
Because he never went home, you know.
Right.
But his work ethic has, you know.
Obviously, you see. Obviously, yeah. I mean, you see where he is now, and you go like, okay, yeah, you should be there.
Yeah, because I used to say, he's crazy.
Right.
Dude, you know what I mean? You can go to the club.
You guys go, you know, I'm going to figure this out.
But
Leslie used to tell me that it was super tough to do stand up during the show. And like, did you find that, or would you try to get out and hit clubs in New York?
It was hard. Yeah. You don't want to do no stand up. I didn't do a lot of stand up.
Yeah.
If I could go back and do it over, I would do my career totally over. I'd take a little bit more serious where I was and why I was there and the opportunity. But more importantly, I would cement the stand up brilliance that I have.
Mm.
That to this day people are like, I didn't know you was that funny. And so, you know, you're still winning them over 300 at a time instead of, you know, 1500.
Yeah, you crush, dude. Every time I see you.
Yeah, there is a couple people.
I'm not going to disagree.
No, you shouldn't, man. It's fucking, it, you know.
You and I were just
don't
in,
take a set off.
You and I were just in Philadelphia at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then there were some people that went to both shows. And I definitely had a few people come up and go like, dude. Like, first we saw Finesse, and Finesse crushes, and we see you, and you. I'm like, okay, wow. Okay, good. Like, that's, you know that you're killing when people tell the other comedian.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You're funny, you're good. But we saw this guy last
because
night.
They love to say.
Yeah.
I went out last night. Wasn't as good. So mm-hmm. glad I came out tonight. So, you know.
Right.
People were like, oh, I saw him and he crushed, and I saw you and you crushed. It was such a great comedy weekend.
And that's like so encouraging to hear.
Yeah, and the great thing and water funny drink. Thing,
water.
Yeah, and I wanted to. My Thursday night went like this.
Mm-hmm.
I crushed it.
Mm-hmm.
I had on Thursday night. I probably had, I don't know, maybe 50 seats away from a sellout or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Which for it's
for
amazing.
What, Thursday? Yeah,
Thursdays are tough. Some club like Jay Moore says it all the time. It's like never tweet out that you sold out the Saturday early show. That's he's like everybody right. does it. Right. Like don't be proud of that. Like yeah, it's okay. Be happy, but that's not like too big of an accomplishment. But if you sell out, if you sell out Thursday,
bougie. This yeah, your right? friend?
I'm not yeah. man. The bottle
so
that
bougie.
Nestle, that fucking chocolate water is what I usually.
He's
drink.
Called Adam Bougie Ray. That Adam was Ray. That,
no, no,
that
Adam Bougie Ray.
That was his
cooking up dope. For the-
That was his name on the court, and now it is translated into his life.
No, it was Quick Fat on the court.
Adam Bougie Ray.
Do you hoop?
A little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only just because of my pigment that I'm going to say yes. But
you kind of have to.
Me too, man. That's the only reason I did it.
Yeah. Last time I played, I heard my Achilles saying, dude, jump one more time, see what happens. And I listened, and I didn't. And my team lost.
Well, but you were a football player, right?
Yeah, I played at the U. But back to what you were saying.
Yeah.
Yes, the Thursday was difficult. But mm-hmm. then they came up to me, you know, before I went on and said, guess who's coming tonight? And it's already sold out. It just sold out in like 20 minutes. I was like, who? They said, Kevin Hart. He's in town and he's going to do the show after yours. And I'm like, Kevin Hart is coming here when? Right after your set. I'm like, really? And sure enough, damn. Kevin came with his crew. Sure enough.
On Friday or Thursday?
It was Thursday night.
Damn.
That shit was sold out. Like, they was like, Finesse, get your raggedy people up out of here.
They're giving you the light like 10 minutes in. Get like, we got to be, here. We got to turn the room.
But it was great to see him and catch up with him and talk yeah, to him and go on yeah. the movie set.
You've known him for a while?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah for, oh, I mean, because like you said, he was at that audition.
Yeah. Shit, man. I know everybody. Well, I mean, we all know each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just a given. Like, we've all seen each other.
Yeah. And that's not like
Def Comedy Jam, the Comic View, BET Comic View. So, we all run in the same
right.
circle.
And that's what I try to explain to people when they say, like, you're a comedian. Like, do you know, like, any famous people? Like, yes. Because once you get past, like, open mic level.
Right.
And you all live your in LA. And you live in New York. Yeah.
I just saw him with John Mayer.
Yeah.
Brad?
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The store that
yeah,
night.
Yeah, the store.
Yeah. That was a fun night.
I mean, he hung out with you more than he hung out with me, so I figured, hey, fucking, you know, John Mayer. I know him from SNL, but it was brief. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He really remember
doing,
me.
Yeah, he's doing
so
the
I had
music
to do the
thing.
Whole, you know, finesse SNL. Oh, yeah, that's right. Still cool. Took pictures. Yeah. Hung out. Chicks was like, you know, man. But, you know, it's just that.
Well, I mean, he didn't know. He knew I was a comedian, but then we were judging Roast Battle together, and then I made a joke. I forgot what it was, but I made a joke about Taylor Swift, one of his exes, and was like, hey, John, you know about that.
Yeah, nice.
And then once I did that, he's like, okay, we're hanging out. Yeah, we're cool.
Good for him that he can laugh at that, you know.
Oh, not. Totally. And
he's straight. He can get a pass in the hood any day. His hit list.
Come
crazy.
On, dude.
Crazy. Yeah.
The list bananas. And then appearances on Chappelle's show.
And his talent, just period. He just,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Your Body is a Wonderland was written about Brad, which is like a lot of people don't know that.
It was written about this ass. It is a damn pretty booty.
No, the original title was Dwarf Ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then it's like,
you get a lot of ass on the road?
Not anymore because I'm engaged, but yes. It was, okay.
Let's just say I opened for Brad when I first started and. during the show in Pleasanton, California, when mm-hmm. he would talk about being a bucket list item, woman stood up in the middle of the show and was like, I want to fuck a dwarf tonight. And like the place goes nuts and like Brad, you know, just played it well and said something and then was just like, room 206, Hilton Garden Inn or whatever, you know. But like it happened like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, on top of just going out and stuff. But yeah.
So that was just
something that happened.
He knows how to work it.
Yeah. Funny, something different, something new. You know.
What are you, fucking
Black
Aladdin?
Yeah.
How do you get to a point to where you feel like you can either, well, you talk about the article in the book, but like, and you talk about a lot in your act too, but like at what point do you go, oh, I have enough that I feel like I can talk about it candidly, like on stage and off stage?
I have enough what?
Just experience.
Experience with
women.
With what?
Women.
It
comes naturally, man.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Were you doing it as a kid? Were you like peer mediating in the eighth grade?
I don't know where it came from.
You got to hold her hand and then finger. Like,
and then you sniff the finger.
Yeah, sniff the finger and show it and show her. Yeah. Show her friends.
And then you're like, hey, this is why. This is you. This is you.
This is you.
Don't tell me I'm gay. I'm not gay. This is you. This is why. I don't want to.
funny.
I do not know where it came from. I just don't. I just know I had a talent for writing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so if the subject is women and relationship advice, I just pull from experiences. Yeah. And other people's experiences and friends' experiences. And
yeah, do you ever?
And I'm easy to talk to. So a lot of people always say, she did this, and then I did this. And then
oh,
just,
man. Yeah, so you're just so collecting. Like, people are just,
yeah,
just
you always get stories.
Changing names and just.
Yeah, and then
back out.
Yeah, like now, do you ever like get into arguments with your wife and go like, "Well, you are talking to the relationship expert."
No,
there's only one in the room.
Because you know what, dog? The bottom line is that no matter who you're with personally and intimately, yeah, they see you with the cape off. You know what I mean?
Right,
you
right,
are
right,
no
right.
longer Superman.
All right,
you
are, right, right.
You ain't even Clark Kent a lot of times. you're just a dude that did not take out the trash, and now the kitchen stinks. So what else didn't you do all day while I was working a 9-to-5 and gotcha. You were laying around watching Wendy Williams? You know what I mean? Those are the real conversations. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like we said, I'm engaged. Any advice for me going into my first marriage and hopefully last?
Well, it won't be your last.
Wow, you know that?
I know that.
Really?
Comics get married twice.
Really?
They just do. So you better marry the same woman. Look at your face. Look at his face.
he's pretty locked into this one.
Yeah.
You're locked in.
Damn right.
What made you want to get in? What made you want to get
tell,
married?
Tell Finesse how you met, first of all.
Okay.
Because I'm sure that'll play a factor
here. And yeah, I've talked about this on the show before, but we met on an app that's designed for people trying to have threesomes.
So your second wife is gonna be your soulmate. Just letting you know.
You'll meet her in the church.
Right.
What?
Anybody? That's how we met, Dave, 2 years. She's a seventh degree black belt. Uh-huh. She works with autistic kids.
Uh-huh. She cooks.
Amazing cook.
Supports them.
Yeah, yeah. She's great. So yeah, that's my I firmly believe it's one. That's
right.
It. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Now, how old are you, Brent?
33. Yeah. And I've done my days of like the crazy.
Yeah, that's the other
stuff.
Part.
Yeah, but it's not even that though. It's at this point in your career.
Yeah.
If that woman, wholeheartedly, on good days and bad days, understand what you do for a living and take it seriously.
Yeah.
And take those thousand no's we get seriously.
Yeah.
And realize that can change our mood at a drop of a dime, and it has nothing to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't even fix it a lot of times. That role is reversed. A lot of times in show business, because a lot of times guys want to fix what's wrong with their girl.
Oh yeah,
right.
But and that's a traditional relationship in that show business arena, dog. That person that's calling themselves, I'm signing up for this. I'm signing up for this significant other game.
Mm-hmm.
She got to understand. You ain't moody because you want to be.
Yeah.
They just promised you $30,000 an episode. you got the job,
right.
And that shit all of a sudden got axed.
And the day before, they're like, Dinklage wants it.
Yeah.
So we're giving it to him.
Exactly.
No, and I'm glad you bring that up, because that is one thing that she is amazing at. So really,
how's the sex?
Good, best I've ever had. By far. And so that's
key, right?
That's key. Yeah.
How key is that? Even
not key, not super key, just key.
Yeah.
Now, how key is it 2 years into being married? They've been dating for 2 years. They're getting married in the fall,
right?
And then 2 years after that, should it still be how it is now?
It's gonna slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and you're gonna want it to slow down.
What's that?
And you're gonna want it to slow down.
Sure.
Then you're gonna hit that wall.
Okay.
Or that wall of, I'm good.
Let me go play virtual reality.
Yeah. You're gonna hit that wall.
Which he's got that too.
And then when you're like, oh, I just can't wait because I'm going to do this. She's going to say, I'm good. And you're going to be like, whoa, what? Then y'all going to start kind of missing each other on the sexual.
So,
you know,
maybe your advice is, hey, even if you don't want to that night,
do it
anyway.
You know what? Yeah. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. The rigmarole of people's schedules and managing a household together,
yeah,
sure,
and the traveling and all that stuff,
sure.
That nap is just as good as an orgasm, though. I'm telling you,
yeah.
That ceiling fan,
if it hits you the right, you can get both in one.
Put that ceiling fan on two,
right,
and let that sheet go across to the middle of your back. You get the little cheer bone in it. Hey, that's a long orgasm right there.
There you go. Perfect.
You know, and you didn't have to exert no work.
So what things did you learn? Because not to get too personal with you, but you were married before. Mm-hmm. So what things did you learn from marriage one going into marriage two?
I learned that the traveling is a lot for somebody who does not know what they want to do.
Mm, okay.
So if you already know you're a traveling stand-up comic and you're in a city 3 weekends out of the month.
Yeah.
And the person you're with is, I'm going to figure it out. Or I'm here.
Okay,
or
okay,
I work
okay.
here, but I hate that job. Because if they do not have a career, it's tough.
Yeah.
Because you're leaving them. And they can only go to so many cities so many times.
Right.
You know, you can only see Chicago so many times.
Right.
Okay. To the point where you're like, ooh, let me check out Toledo. But then once you do that, you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? You know, you can only do the globe so many times.
And thank God, once again, glad you say that. She's got a career.
She's got a career.
She's got her shit. 28.
That's not bad, man. That's not bad.
33.
Like, I definitely think that it is going to work.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? I definitely think that you guys are going to be happy.
Yeah.
The times when you are not happy.
Mm-hmm.
You sit her down and say, baby, this is just turbulence. This plane is not crashing. Because some people try to jump out the plane just because it did that.
Right.
And you gotta be patient enough to let a relationship level off.
I like that advice.
And Adam,
it's a great metaphor.
How the shit just come out? I was gonna say
that was the most profound shit I've heard in a long time.
Shit. It just fucking,
it's just turbulence. It's not crashing.
Also, for a comic, it's a very like spot on metaphor, like the airplane situation.
Because we've all been there.
Do you Brad wrote down some questions. I'm curious your answers to them. When is it okay to break up via text message?
When you really don't give a fuck. and that's fine to be there. Yeah. Like if you're like, holy shit, I don't even want to see you because that's not safe. I'd rather just tell you now and in this format.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Right.
If it's somebody that you just don't want to face because you're scared and you know you owe them an explanation more than like texting.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Then that's some bullshit.
Yeah. Good.
Especially if they've like, I had your back. I did everything. And
right.
And you was like, oh, but this girl at Cracker Barrel, you should have seen the way she.
Gotta go. Bye.
Gotta go. Same one Tiger Woods had. She a legend. She a legend. They all know her in the street.
Can you be friends with your exes?
Absolutely. But that's based off of the current woman that you're involved with.
Yeah.
So if she says it's a no-go, can't.
Gotcha.
If you have kids with that ex, then you have to.
Yeah. Well, sure.
But obviously, if you have no kids and you still just friends with her and the current girl says it's a no-go, you got to respect that.
Good.
You got to respect it. If she says, I don't give a fuck, you know, because there are a lot of girls that's like, you still like her? You still want her? You're like, nah,
right, but every
now and then, you know, hang out and she know my mama and, you know, my sister, good friends.
Yeah.
And if it's not shady, it's on the up and up, then. Yeah.
Yeah, I know people that are like dating and the new girl is like best friends with the old girl. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I can't.
That seems super weird.
You're not going to bring your ex-boyfriend unless he can get me Laker tickets.
Is it magic?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it's magic, you have a whole other set of problems.
That's hey, man, he's going to fix the Lakers.
That's when you got to go get tested.
He's no longer sick. He's going to fix the Lakers.
If you're already in a relationship, like if you're in an established, good relationship, mm-hmm. can your friends date your ex? Not.
That's shady on the friends part.
Not asking from the current situation.
Right.
Just in general.
I think I've been through that before. I'm not sure. I think so.
I have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know, if I'm with somebody new, I don't give a fuck. But I am looking at them like y'all shady.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a gazillion people to go out there and date.
Right.
Y'all
that's
just
what I'm
lazy.
Saying.
Y'all just some. That's some lazy shit. Or this is something that y'all was looking at and thinking about when we were together anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Now
this is funny, dog.
Yeah.
when I lived out here, I was sleeping on this couch. This shit should have been a sitcom because I was sleeping on one of my boys' couch for over 2 years.
Oh wow!
You know what I mean? I was the dude in the living room.
Wow.
But when people came,
I've
over
always wanted to meet that dude.
Yeah, they would just be like, "Who's that?"
Oh, that's Finesse. Yeah.
You know, was it Finesse the couch guy, or was he just your name?
It was just Finesse, and. But I was dating this girl, and we broke up. Oh, and that's how I got to the couch. We were living on Crenshaw, so when I didn't, this is so bizarre. But
she broke up with me right before SNL came. SNL was probably a month later,
girl.
So it was crazy.
Missed. You missed it, girl.
You've been partying with JT.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm sleeping on this couch, and I had this girlfriend for a long time out here.
Yeah.
And in the house that I stayed at, there was a dude who lived there, and he was a twin. And one of my ex-girlfriend is married now to his twin brother. And they have a beautiful family. They're extremely happy, and I love them both. I even met him, but I know the brother, so I know he's a good person. But then my boy came up to me, and this was like maybe 6 months ago, and he was like, "You know what? That's some bullshit." I was like, "What's some bullshit?" He said, "You remember so and so?" I was like, "Yeah." "You know she married to so and so?" I said, "Yeah." "That's so and so brother." I said, "Yeah. They look just alike." I said, "Yeah." So that means she was looking at him the whole time. You know, the dude that lived in the house.
Right.
And I was like, I think that's a bit of a stretch, but maybe. I don't know. I don't give a fuck, but I don't know. But then I drove home like, that bitch was fucking
because you're trying to act cool in the moment.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, oh, no, I'm good now. We're fine, but then.
No.
That is interesting.
But once I move on, I move on. And what's weird about Geminis, we can be friends with anybody.
I'm a Gemini too.
Yeah, we can be friends with anybody.
Totally.
Just don't be difficult.
I had a good thing with
drama.
I had a good thing with the homeless guy in the bushes outside my apartment 6 years ago until he jerked off of my window.
That's a real story.
So finesse.
I don't even have to ask him if that's a real story.
You can tell how serious I was.
That's a deal breaker.
When you do an ant farm.
Transition.
You gonna talk about a dude jerking off in your window and then go to the Disney Channel?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
All right.
Because I know it's gonna be a featured episode for them at some point. Did you ever? First of all, I want to know about that experience. But did you ever do any of this type of stuff with people on the show? Like
relationship?
Yeah, them? Man.
Nah.
No.
Nah. Not at all.
Well, because but then how old were those kids? They were
like 12 to. You know, okay.
Yeah, but I feel like 12 Hollywood kids, man, they're probably dealing with more shit.
Yeah, one 16-year-old.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. That looked 18.
There you go.
But no.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't ask you.
Yeah, no.
And you wouldn't sit in a circle and be like...
That. Like, nobody knows that about me.
Yeah,
you have to actually Google
me. You as the farmer.
Or you have to be, you know, a black woman that's 28 to be like, I used to read your columns every month. And I was mad when Steve Harvey took over.
You hear that, Steve Harvey? You know what? It's gonna turn around. You're gonna be the next host of Family Feud,
dude. And
you're gonna fucking take Steve's job.
You would crush it, dude.
How about that?
And you know what, man? Like, it'd be well, whatever. There'd be an even cooler, hipper vibe to that show if you did it. You
absolutely.
Know? He's very. I mean, look, he's
cool.
Yeah,
he's cool his thing.
He's cool. Can't
do it forever. Yeah. And how old do you want the host to be?
That's true.
You know not much older than he is.
So eventually,
would you do it?
Fuck yeah!
Yeah,
I would definitely do. I would do. I'm waiting for Pat Sajak to die. I'm waiting for Steve.
That's
Harvey
the name of your next album.
Pat Sajak to die.
For the dude on the
Price is Right.
No, he already
Trebek.
No,
true.
No, but not. But Trebek.
Yeah. He should be a black host for Jeopardy. Fuck.
I want Drew to stay for a little bit.
Yeah,
you know he's been through some things, so he this balances him out.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's talking life shit.
Yeah. I mean, hell.
Drew's a legend out here in these LA streets.
No shit.
Shit. Yeah.
I've heard stories about
him
Drew
and Bill Maher. Shit.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
I've heard.
I guess.
Yeah. I've heard some of these stories.
Maybe
as well.
In the fucking overtime. We'll talk
about it. I don't know shit. I just hear.
Mm-hmm. Now.
But was that fun though, doing the kids show?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Amazing time for me. And it also allowed me to practice acting.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you want to overact.
Yeah.
But that was a show that you could.
Right.
And you would get away with it. And then when you did a sensitive side or a serious side, it came off as acting. Even your acting was even better. So it was great because the cast was amazing and super talented. The checks cleared.
Yeah.
They were consistent.
Was it a live audience?
Yes.
Dope.
The kids love you.
Oh, cool.
And to this day, like, I just did the University of Alabama, and I walked out, and I was like, what's up? And it was some people was like, you know, some people,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the people that was just like, I said, you probably don't know me or like me, but I bet your little sister or little brother know me, because I was on a show called Ant Farm about 4 years ago, and they was like, holy shit, that was you! And I realized, holy shit, you were the kid.
That's amazing.
So it's that by. Next generation that, like, we don't think about that. Like, hell, I did an episode of Sam and Cat about Nickelodeon where I had to be handcuffed to Ariana Grande for a week. I got stories about that shit. But yeah, like, and then people sometimes come up to the show. I was on one episode.
Right.
One. Right. People come up and go, oh, my son loves you on Sam and Cat, and he's nine.
Single Mamas Everywhere was after Finesse Mitchell.
I was going to say, Stephen Glickman says when he was on a Disney show.
Yeah. Big Time Rush.
Yeah, and he
because the kids have no, you know, they don't know. They're just like, they see in the airport or the grocery store. And then the mom is like, I'm sorry. Yes, are you on a TV show?
Yeah.
Because my child is just, and I'm like, yeah, I'm on. Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. Glickman said he would get propositioned by the moms to like go backstage and stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't believe it. I mean, I do.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me back then, I was just going on that set. And being a part of that cast, and seeing how where the kids are now, what they're doing, they all stayed out of trouble, and
that's dope.
You know,
that's gotta be
good.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
cause
cool.
That's the last thing you want, because you knew these kids when they were 11, 12, and now, like, yeah, if you checked in with them later and they found out they were doing, like, typical child
it's
star
fun.
Stuff.
I was doing Jay Moore's podcast, and he was like, "So, Finesse, some of those girls, though, come on," you know. I'm like, Jay, the fuck is wrong with
you?
Yeah, you're
working with them every day. They're not that tight.
I don't even play like that. Even when they come in the room, and they think they on your level because we all on the same show.
Sure.
They come in the room, shut the door, Finesse, we got to talk. I'm like, first you got to open up that door.
Yeah.
You got to open up that door. And you stand in the doorway, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, and that was and that was before you even became a father, right?
Yeah.
So you had those instincts.
Absolutely. Because and then they don't get it. Like, what's the problem?
They don't.
I'm like,
well, so naive.
Well, because because they're being innocent. They're like, oh, I'm just talking with a coworker. You're like, yes, that's what we're doing. We're just talking, but somebody else does not know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't want a mom or a parent to come in here or an executive and then see that shit.
Yeah,
so that very very wise.
Something
decision.
Is always
I
something.
I saw one of the
nothing.
Girls at the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Yeah. Sorry. Are you talking about the Super Bowl or are you talking about the girl?
I'm talking about the girl. Yeah. Dog. I can't even lie. But she's like 21 now or something. She's engaged.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a stunner back then. And the whole cast and crew, not the cast, but the crew knew it because we all adults. And we were like, this feels creepy. But now that she's 21, oh, my God.
You're creepy then.
Sorry about
that. I wanted to say, I always knew, young lady.
How was that Super Bowl other than the outcome?
It was great, man.
Yeah.
Other than the outcome, it was great. I want to thank all the Boston fans that I sat around that I, because I made a complete ass of myself.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh my god. I'm from Atlanta, dog.
Yeah, that's right.
For three quarters I talk so much shit.
Yeah,
I did victory laps at halftime around the outside where you can buy concessions with the phone just running through. I mean, it was
I need to go back to your Instagram.
It was crazy.
Well, did you say your owner too was on the field like just
Arthur
fucking
Blank,
dancing up a storm?
He always does that shit too. He
do
always
people like
goes
him
down too early. Yeah, we love him.
Yeah,
we love
he
Arthur
seems
Blank.
Dope.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
And then
he just goes down too early. He just always does that.
Right.
But oh my god. Good,
but of course you're cheering. It would have been the first one. You know, you're up 28-3.
I mean, look, my Seahawks.
And I said I wanted to thank them because they all turned around and was like, tough break, buddy. Sorry. And they were quiet the entire game. And then, of course, they cheered their ass off in the fourth quarter.
Oh, sure,
overtime.
Sure.
The whole time from the first touchdown, I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
That
he dominated.
Say something. Y'all,
Freeman's running in. You're like, we got nothing.
It was so few of us that you could look across the way and see other Atlanta fans. You'd be like, Bow Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We just
had to. Amazing.
Well, but you know what? And big ups to the mass holes because they have a bad reputation for that for that kind of thing. But I think in that scenario, even in that scenario, even if your team's the one that wins, you got to look over the other side and go, dude.
Yeah.
Because that feeling that I was feeling for the three quarters, you just got that like all at once.
Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't get mad at them.
Yeah. And so good on them for being sympathetic.
Fuck New England.
Fuck the Patriots. I hate them so much.
He's a Seahawks fan, so of course he hates him, and I'm a Broncos fan, so we're in the AFC, so we face him in the playoffs. So that
and I'm cool with Tom Brady.
Really?
I was really cool with Tom Brady. We was texting shit.
What?
Because he came on SNL, so we stayed in touch. Sent me jerseys.
What?
No shit. I'm
cool with Tom Brady. And then all of a sudden, somebody fucking Deflategate crashed his, and then he threw his phone and broke it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
That ain't how it happened, but okay. Something happened where
oh shit,
he had a, I don't know, he changed his number and then we fell out of touch, and then I see him on TV with a Make America Great Again hat. I'm like, what the fuck happened to Tom Brady?
Crazy, right?
He was my dude.
Yeah, but yeah.
Shit. Have you kept friendships that you made in the SNL days?
Acquaintances. I can't say I talk to people every day like I used to back then. You know, you find your people that you're cool with, from a writer to a page.
Yeah, sure.
You know, to a cast member. But that shit called life. That shit is real, dog.
Yeah.
And shit, 4 years go by and you realize, damn, I have not talked to Kenan Thompson. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And it's just, and then when you see each other, you be like, holy shit. And then you talk like you saw each other yesterday.
Right back to it.
Yeah.
Being, that's awesome.
Being such a force on stage, I just want to know before we wrap this up, like, do you have a mindset before you go on stage, or is every show, is stage time for you at this point, or do you go up with a purpose? Like, do you have a map every time and you have shit you want to accomplish, or are you just going up and going, I'm going to be me because I know I'm going to bring it and I'm never going to phone it in?
Sometimes I do not phone my 1 hour's in.
Yeah.
Nah, I may phone a Laugh Factory set in. But very doubtful, because I love that club.
Yeah.
But I go on stage to do two jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I don't do those two jokes, I feel like the night is a waste. I don't give a fuck if they stood up and clapped. If I wrote two jokes that day and I didn't, and my brain didn't let me get there during that set,
yeah,
I get so pissed.
Yeah.
Thinking, fuck, now I got to wait till blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
And but stand up is so natural for me. Whether I'm doing old material or new material, I piece it together like it's just a freaking fabric, dude. And people are just like, that was the best shit I've ever seen. Why aren't you blah, blah, blah? Why aren't you da, da? No, you hit that. Yeah. Why don't you?
Sure. Yeah, so, yeah. Well, have me have a few more phone calls with Lauren.
Yeah.
And then make some shit. But, and I can't stress this to our listeners enough, because Adam and I have both been lucky enough to see you. And yeah, it is. You are not bullshitting. You will wreck a room. You will make them go crazy.
There's a handful of people when I started to get like into the working community out here where I was just like, man, get on a fucking show. Like, I remember the first show The Factory was on with you, dude. It was like, it's a huge fucking deal, you know?
Right.
Yeah, because you feel like you've gotten to like a next level. Yeah.
Of comics.
And also, like I've just said, like you bring it all the time, and it's like, to guys you look up to, it's inspiring to see that you're not like, you know.
I think the weird part now easy. Is that cats are like, oh man, and they bring up a moment that was a long time ago, or you hear younger comics, especially young black comics, because you know they think they compliment you, but they're like, oh gee. Oh, finessing this bitch. I'm like, who? OG.
I'm still working.
No, I'm you know what I mean?
I'm making this happen.
But I think about it, I'm like, dang, they are like 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
And they was 3 when I was on Comic View. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when they see you, they're like, holy shit, I used to see these dudes on TV. Or they see you on SNL. I used to see.
Right.
And,
and they'll realize that this job is a marathon.
Yeah.
Not a sprint.
If I can Morgan Freeman this thing, bro, and that's my goal. That's my goal.
Wait a minute. All right. I didn't know you do a Morgan Freeman. Will you?
You can do it.
Go ahead.
Do you got to get out of here?
No, I'm about to find my dates. I'm about to plug them.
Well, yeah.
Plug them.
Go ahead. I'm going to pull some up. When we have amazing impressions on Dana Carver's here last night, and he called, we prank called this Thai restaurant I ordered from. He did it as Paul McCartney. We had Ari Spears do it as DMX. If you could do it as Morgan Freeman, that'd be unbelievable.
You about to call a Thai restaurant?
Yeah. Place? I give them plenty of business, so they never know.
Yeah.
But plug your dates, and then we'll pull it up and we'll do it real quick.
Hey everybody, if you're out there listening, you want to see Finesse Mitchell live, do some stand-up comedy, you can catch me at the Brea Improv.
Hey, that's my hometown.
Brea.
Come out. Support Finesse Mitchell.
This will be up Monday.
Yeah. April the blah, 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 blah. Who wants to go to Coachella? Not us.
Nobody.
Right? So April 20th through the 23rd, I will be at the Brea Improv. No, I'll be at,
What?
I'll be at the Ontario Improv.
Okay. It's a little bit of a drive, but okay.
Yeah,
do
I'll
it.
Be in Ontario. Oh, well.
No.
No! I'll be at Brea. Okay.
Go to Brea. Go to Brea. They're
April
38 minutes
to
apart.
I'll be at the Brea Improv. If anybody out there, you got friends in Rhode Island, you white, so you got friends
I
out
just
there
performed in Rhode Island at the Comedy Connection.
Did you like that place?
Loved it.
Really?
Loved it.
It's small, right?
Yeah, but it was fun. Good energy.
Did you do press?
Yeah.
He said he ain't had no press for me.
Well, like, I did press in Boston, though. Because I was doing Boston.
Oh.
But then that press translated into Rhode Island since everything's close together.
Well, I tell you what. I'm there next weekend. All you got to do is tweet, hey, remember when I was there, Comedy Catch?
Done.
Comedy Connection?
Done.
Vanessa's there the April 6th through the 7th.
Absolutely.
And then
I'll tweet
and then
that
if
out.
If I can get that up. If I'm correct, and I am Brea Improv, April 20th through the 23rd.
There you go. And all your dates on finessemitchell.com?
Yeah. No. But there is a finessemitchell.com. That just, I'm too lazy, dog.
I understand it.
But Twitter and Facebook, right?
Yeah.
All right, here. Yo, hold that phone up.
Hey, how can I help you?
You say whatever you want.
Is this the Thai restaurant?
Yeah, Thai patio.
Thai patio. This is Morgan Freeman. And I would like to have some orange chicken, and I would like to pay for it with my Visa.
Oh, 1 second.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you saw the movie Driving Miss Daisy. But when you drive people around all day, you get very hungry, and Thai food is the first thing you want to eat. Then I was a principal at a school called Eastside High, where kids smoke crack on the roof, and I would say, Sams, do you know the school song? Sing the school song.
Thank you very much.
A lot of time.
Because I'm a celebrity, I don't give out my phone number, but my friend Andy Dufresne from Shawshank, he has a phone number that I could give out, and
let me give you. But who's gonna pick up the order?
Andy Dufresne. Andy Dufresne is going to pick up the order. He has almost tunneled through 100 yards.
Anyway, can I have his phone number or whoever who's gonna pick up the order?
Yes, are you ready? Okay. The number is 310.
What else?
976 LAFF.
310-976?
LAFF. If a guy named Jamie Masada answers the phone, you ask him to put Andy on the phone. And because Andy's picking up the tie.
So 310-976.
L.
What was that?
LAFF.
LAFF?
LAFF, correct. Whatever the numbers are for those alphabets, that's what it is. LAFF.
Alright, so I'm so sorry. So then I cannot take your order.
Do you even have orange chicken?
No.
Well, then this was a waste of a phone call. Thank you. Goodbye.
Oh my God, Vanessa Mitchell. Go see him live. You're the best, dude.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Show, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night.
That's it, right? You got it?
Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that?
Hanukkah Willow? Nice.